In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Amen. The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So before we begin, one of the things we're going to be doing next week, starting January 23rd, Archbishop Cassati, back in 1995, or 96, I should say, asked us to prepare ourselves for the, it was that, at that time, the 50th anniversary of Luisa's entrance into heaven by preparing those 40 days of prayer in the divine will. What we're going to do this year is to get ready for the 77th anniversary of her entrance into heaven. So for those 40 days, we're going to go through the titles of Luisa. And the titles of Luisa are as you read them, as you study them, it just astonishes us of how much our God loved little Luisa, that he would give her such magnificent titles. And we're going to go through that for the 40 days. And what we're going to have some generous souls reading them so that, I mean, it's, let's say if you're driving to work or if you're, you know, washing the dishes, you know, if you want to just listen to them, or you can read along and you can see where in the Book of Heaven Jesus said this about Luisa. You can go back to, if you want to learn more about what Jesus says about her, you could go right to that day, that volume, that day that Jesus said these things, and you can learn more about Luisa. It's going to be glorious because, like I've said, who is this Luisa Picaretta that Jesus would be so astonished by? You know, so he's so much love, this outpouring of love. So again, so this is where we're going to begin today on volume 24, May 6, 1928. Loving so much Luisa, whom Jesus says, I have chosen as my little secretary. So here, Luisa, who God has chosen, Luisa as Jesus's little secretary. Here's two titles that we're going to hear. And when we get into these 40 days of these titles, I don't think anybody will be able to say, you know, look, we don't need Luisa. I've heard that so many times. Oh, we're living in the divine will now. We don't need Luisa. It's like, that's not what Jesus tells us. So today, loving Luisa so much, whom I have chosen as my little secretary, I, God, want to pour my heart out and entrust to Luisa my secrets, my joys, my hidden sorrows, my surprising truths, to celebrate together and to communicate to Luisa so many divine lives for as many truths that I, Jesus, keep manifesting to her. So that one sentence is so filled with what Jesus is telling us. I love Luisa so much because I have chosen Luisa as my secretary. Now, as God, I want to pour my heart out and I want to entrust to Luisa my divine secrets, my divine joys, my hidden divine sorrows, my surprising truths. Why? To celebrate together and to communicate to Luisa so many divine lives for as many truths that I keep manifesting to her. Now, when we read this, because Jesus is talking to us as well. He says, I love Luisa so much, whom I have chosen as my little secretary, that you are reading what I have said to her. So therefore, I want to pour out my heart and entrust to you who are listening to Luisa, who are listening to the truths, these lessons, these mysteries. I want to share with you my divine secrets, my divine joys, my divine sorrows, and my surprising truths. Why? To celebrate together with you, as I celebrated with Luisa, to communicate to you, as I communicated to Luisa, so many divine lives for as many truths that I, God, keep manifesting to Luisa and now to you. everything that Jesus says to Louisa, he wants to fill us with. He says, Louisa's the firstborn, the newborn. And through Louisa, we're going to receive what God has filled Louisa with. So as you go through all these titles, this is what you're going to become aware with. Jesus wants to give you that title as I gave this to Louisa. Now I want to give this to you. So we become, in a way, a little secretary of Jesus as well by reading, by studying, by putting these truths into practice, these lessons, this manifestation. And again, this is why when you begin to read Louisa, nothing is the same anymore. Nothing can be the same anymore. He wants to fill us to overflowing as he filled Louisa. He wants to share with us what he gave to Louisa. She is the firstborn. She's the newborn. She was the firstborn of original sin who began to live this abundant life of the new Adam and of the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. And now God wants to fill us with this new and divine way of holiness that our God wants to fill us with. It's new, but it's not new. This God gave this gift to Adam, and he wanted to give this divine life to all of Adam's children. But Adam failed. Adam obeyed Lucifer. He obeyed what Lucifer said, I will not serve, I will not obey. And for 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the evil one. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus redeemed us. Why? He said to get humanity ready for sanctification. This is what he tells Louisa. And he says, now he has found a human born of original sin who has said, yes, fiat, I want this abundant life. Now, the saints were learning how to do this by doing the will of God. And for 2,000 years, we've learned how to do the will of God. Now, because of Louisa, we're going to live in the will of God, which is, Jesus says, it's as different doing and living as night and day. So he calls the divine will this dawn of a mystery, which Archbishop Piccieri asked us to watch this DVD, The Dawn of a Mystery. We begin to understand that nothing is the same anymore. And so this is why everything is changing in the world. The kingdom is coming. And he's asking us to get ready to begin to live this life that Jesus and Mary breathed into Louisa. So he says, if I see that she believes me, okay, this is what Jesus is now asking of us. If he sees that we believe what Jesus said to Louisa, if we believe this, he says, I celebrate and I, God, put out in feast in the joys and the happinesses that a divine life can possess. So the first thing Jesus says is, you know, we have a free will. He says he'll never take away our free will. He says, I don't want robots. I don't want everybody just to say, yes, yes, you know, following in step what you're programmed to do. That's where we are now, you know, especially with television, with the news media, we're programmed. A lot of people can't think on their own. A lot of people have to be told what to do, you know, and the news media tells us what to do. It's everything's okay. Don't worry about any of the economy's fine. I mean, it's like, have you been to the grocery store lately? Jesus is saying, use your free will, use your intellect to begin to accept or reject. And he says, when I see that the soul believes me, like Louisa, I celebrate, I put out, I feast, and the joys and the happiness is of a divine life that these children of mine begin to possess. And he says, that possesses the infinite. Okay, so this new and divine way of holiness isn't about being just good and holy and saintly. That's what the saints have taught us for the last 2,000 years. It's to begin to live the life that the priest says every day at Holy Mass by putting the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is where Adam was before he fell. Image and likeness of God. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Image and likeness of God. So what does Jesus do? I mean, what does the Father in his divine wisdom has done for us is he's given us, after 4,000 years of being under the thumb of Lucifer, redemption. We have been redeemed. And now Jesus says, and I've given you the Holy Church, the sacraments and sacramentals. And again, people still echo the words of Lucifer. I will not serve. I will not obey. See, Jesus knows this universal life that he breathed into Adam, this universal life that Jesus and Mary bring back to humanity 2,000 years ago, with this fullness of faith, fullness of truth, with our dogma and doctrine, our tradition, the sacred scriptures. What happens at that point is a new beginning for us, where Jesus says, finally, he said, after 6,000 years, he says, I have found a human born of original sin who has been redeemed, who's living a Catholic life. Jesus says, now I want to fill to overflowing this breath, this Ruah of God, this breath of God that Adam had before the fall. This is why you always see Louisa with the Holy Spirit, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth that we're getting ready for, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II told us is coming. We're getting ready for this. How? Jesus says, I'm going to show you the way and the how the kingdom is coming. That's why Louisa is the secretary. She wrote down everything that Jesus said. These are not Louisa's thoughts. She's being taught by Jesus and Mary, because she's the first one, Jesus says, out of all of humanity that is in such agreement with God, such docility with God, such submissiveness to God, echoing, if you want to say, Our Lady's life, Our Lord's life, the new Adam and the new Eve, that Jesus says, now I can begin to give this outpouring of the Holy Spirit to all of humanity. Now, again, you have to understand that there's been three purifications. There's three purifications. The first one was the flood, where God wiped out everything that was opposed to God. And one family had a pure line back to Adam. That was Noah's family. And Jesus tells Louisa, we have to thank Noah for saying yes to God, basically, doing the ridiculous, building a cruise liner in the desert. He didn't build a boat. He built a cruise liner, 120 years of building it, because he obeyed God in the desert. God said, do this. He said, fiat, I will do this. And Jesus tells Louisa, we have to thank Noah. He saved the human race. 2,000 years later, when Jesus and Mary come to earth, we are redeemed. This second purification was the blood of Jesus. He washed the world clean of this being under the slavery of the devil. Now, 2,000 years later, I mean, giving us the church, giving us Our Lady as mother, and she's gone through all the world. I mean, all the apparitions of Our Lady. Look at the Feast of the Blessed Mother each day of the year. Look at the calendar of the Feast of Our Lady all over the world. I mean, there are two or three times even in a day she's appeared somewhere, and she's getting us ready for what? The return of her son. So here we have the second purification, the blood of Jesus, the tears and sorrow of Our Lady. Redemption has taken place. And now, Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. And what's coming is fire. And what's this fire? I mean, it's the light, true life of Jesus and Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This consuming love of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, is coming to the earth. Why? To get rid of all that is not of God. This new and divine way of holiness, this consuming fire, Our Lady says, will be good for some, bad for most. what can be good and bad at the same time? It depends on the disposition of who is there. If there are souls that love Jesus and Mary, want this life of Jesus and Mary, it will be ecstasy. For those that do not want this life of God, of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, when this love comes upon the earth, they're going to say no to this. And this no is hell, where they will wail and grind their teeth for eternity. So God is trying to get us ready. So what is in the wisdom of God? What has he done? He's given to us the book of heaven. These 70 years of Louisa in bed has been for our good. She's been focused on reading what Jesus tells her, studying what Jesus tells her, and putting into practice what Jesus tells her. What does Jesus tell her? These lessons, these truths, these manifestations of how much God loves humanity and why our God asks us to come to him, because he knows this is eternity. This is ecstasy. This is the most beautiful thing that can imagine. And those souls who spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in silence and in prayer, as Jesus said to John, and to the apostles, would you stay with me 1 hour? Those that spend an hour with Jesus each day begin to taste the ecstasy, begin to taste the peace, the joy, the happiness of God. He gets us away from the distractions of earth, the misery of earth, the sorrow, the sadness of earth that we've been under this thumb of Lucifer for 6,000 years, and gets us into that hope. Christian hope is certitude of the kingdom of God on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. This dust, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. So he says, when I see that the soul believes me, like Louisa, I celebrate. I put out in these feasts and these joys and these happinesses that a divine life can possess, that possesses infinity, the infinity of all goods. It never ends. And that is what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947. My children, she said, are going to enter into the eternity where they belong and enjoy the beatific vision. Why were we created? To be with God, to be in God's image and likeness, to enjoy who God is, the beatific vision. And even Thomas Aquinas says, if the veil was lifted, if we really saw where we actually are, there's no time or space with God. It's with God from the beginning to the end of time. It's this ecstasy that God wants us to begin to understand. It's not the fallen nature that's around us. It's beautiful, but it's fallen. Why? Because we are not where humanity should be. We have to be the Lord of heaven and earth, basically. The Lord of earth. God is the Lord of heaven and earth. But Adam was the king of the earth. He was dressed, Jesus says, in divine nobility. And that's why he was naked. He got rid of this image and likeness of God. I don't want to be like what God wants. I will obey the devil. So today is the same thing. How many of us, when we go to confession, it's because we're not listening to what the Lord has said, but what the devil, the liar, the deceiver, the murderer has told us. So Jesus is showing us, when I see Louisa and the souls who believe what I've told Louisa, which is sanctification, this is what God wants. Nobody's there yet. Louisa's there. But it's sanctification is to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam, the new Eve. I celebrate, Jesus says. I put out in feast the joys, the happinesses of a divine life that can possess and possesses the infinity of all goods that God breathed into Adam. And then the soul is filled and celebrates together with me. This is the ecstasy. This is what God has created humanity. To be one with God, to delight in God, to be in awe of God. And again, this begins, Jesus tells Louisa, with the souls who want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Do you think it's by chance that the church is talking about Eucharistic adoration now? It's God has got plans. He's saying to us, wait till you see what I'm going to do. Wait till you see how I'm going to bless humanity, where I'm calling humanity. But he says, it's your decision, what you choose. Do you want if you choose the things of the world, you're going to go the way of the world. What's that? The consuming fire of God's love. If you change the thing, if you want the things of heaven, what you're choosing is the fire, the ecstasy of the love of Jesus and Mary. It's a decision. Now, Jesus has said, you know, to Thomas, blessed are those who believe but do not see. We don't know what is going to happen. We know the kingdom's coming. Jesus tells us this is the fulfillment of the Our Father, but how it's going to come, why now it's God's getting us ready. It's his plan. And all we say is we echo our Lady's voice, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say, Lord. This is the joy that the souls receive when they read the Book of Heaven, this diary of Louisa. And Jesus says, when I see the belief of what souls listening to what I said to Louisa, believe it, he says, I celebrate. This joy, the happiness, divine life they can possess. And this means they can possess the infinity of all the goods of God. And that's what he says. That's the sixth step that Our Lady teaches Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, that we can possess all the divine qualities as much as possible a human can possess. It's to be overflowing, this abundant life. Wait till you start reading the titles of Louisa, and then Jesus says, I'm calling you to this as well. It's going to be overwhelming. What Jesus says to Louisa, he wants to say to us, but he has to see in us the same, if you want to say, DNA that's found in Louisa. What does that mean? The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is why she's the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. A soul born of original sin who possesses the life of Jesus and Mary. Now, when you read what the Diocese of Trani has done, I mean, the archbishops, most of the archbishops for the last 100 years knew Louisa. And most of them, one bishop, when he came in, you know, he'd be careful of Louisa, you know, so he said, no one can see Louisa, and he had a stroke at that point. So the next day, Louisa says to Aunt Rosaria, there's noise outside. She says, the bishop's coming. And Louisa, Aunt Rosaria, who was taking care of Louisa for 40 years, she looks out the window. She says, there's three priests out here, and one in the middle looks like he's hurt. So what happens is, The three priests were basically they think it was the chancellor and the vicar general escorting the bishop in, and going up those stairs. If you've been to Luis's the association, those stairs are very steep and very very. I think it's like 20 stairs. Usually it's like 12 stairs going up, but these are 20 stairs because the ceilings are higher in Italy. And they get to the top of the stairs, and she says to the bishop, Your Excellency, bless me. And the side that was paralyzed, because, you know, he had that stroke, he raises his arm to bless Louisa. And after that, they talked for a couple of hours, but he allowed anyone and everyone to go see Louisa. But most of the bishops loved Louisa. I mean, when Louisa died in 1947, a year later, she was a servant of God. They knew she was Louisa la Santa, Louisa the Saint. And even Archbishop Carata, who was before Archbishop Passati, he studied Louisa in the seminary. The books of Louisa, published by St. Honorable de Francia, under the direction of Pope Pius X, it was all over, the books were all over Italy in 1920, up to 1930. Everybody was consuming these books. Everybody was into this. And then even Father Beda in Germany, he asked permission to translate it into German and then into French and to other languages. He saw the beauty. He's a top theologian in Germany. He knew that what was written was so amazing. He was an author of many books, and he was focusing on stigmata, how a person who is close to God receives the stigmata. And he said, the books of Luisa are the books of heaven are so important. He says, I don't think I'm ever going to publish what I've been focusing on all my life because of what he saw the truth there. And then what happens? World War II begins basically, and a lot of books were burnt. And I think the evil one wanted these books destroyed. He knew that with these books, the world was going to change, because that's what Jesus said. When the books of heaven are released to the earth, everything's going to change. And you look at it, and then they confiscated half the most amazing books, 20 through 30, 36. So they had for at least maybe 15, 20 years, volume 1 through volume 20, well, 19. They had parts of 20. And it's How to Become a Saint, volume 1 through volume 10, and then How to Live in the Divine Will. And that's basically where Father Inibile, St. Anna of the Francia, died. And Jesus said he was the first to enter into the kingdom living in the divine will. How can that be? He read, he studied, he put into practice volume 1 through volume 19. And then the books were locked up for 58 years until 1996. And in 1996, February 2nd, 1996, the books were brought back to Trani. And I was there for that mass. As a matter of fact, I celebrated that mass with Sister Assunta and a few others, where we thanked God that we have all 36 volumes now. And it was in Luisa's room, and it was a glorious time of celebration. We had all 36 volumes on a table in Luisa's room, and we were hoping that what Jesus said one day on the table will be all 36 volumes, and people will be spiritualized and divinized. And we were praying that. And, we're still waiting for that. We're waiting for that day when that happens. So God, again, this is why Jesus is filled and celebrates together with Luisa and us. And his mother's always with Jesus. Jesus and Mary are always together. Mary and Jesus are always together. Filled and celebrates together with those souls who are reading the Book of Heaven. And ever since 1996, the world has changed. It's not the same anymore. This is a glorious time, a magnificent time, where as you read, as you study, you fall more in love with God because of what the teachings that Jesus is giving to us through Luisa. So volume 24, August 6, 1926, operating in my fiat is divine life, Jesus says. Operate when we begin with our prevenient act in the morning, and then our actual acts throughout the day, he says, is life. He says that the soul takes into herself a divine life, life with the fullness of the spring of all that is good, this fountain of all that is good. So each day as you read, each day as you study, each day as you put this into practice, especially, we love the calendar. This, you begin to taste this divine life. You begin to recognize the things of the world are the things of the world, and they have to go the way of the world, which is fire. Now, the things of heaven are the ways of heaven, and we have to consume this life with the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam, the new Eve, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, this consuming fire that's coming upon the earth. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is God is getting ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And he's asked us to be alive. We're nobodies, we're nothings. He's asked us to be alive. Why? He says, now is the time that it's going to happen. Now, it's not, we don't know if it's tomorrow. We don't know if it's years from now, but we know now is the time Jesus is saying to us, I want my children to get ready for what I'm going to do. He never leaves us in the dark. He wants us to be aware of what's going on. And again, that doesn't mean we have to know the time, the day and the hour, but we have to know the season that we're in. The season that we're in, Jesus says to Louisa, to prove that the kingdom is coming is the book of heaven. And we know the book of heaven came out in 1996, February 2nd, 1996. And everything has changed. I mean, just think of the airport in 1996. I mean, we used to walk out with everybody to the plane to walk up, you know, the ladder or the stairs to get into the plane. I mean, we could be there when the plane came in. Now you're basically strip searched and probed. Are you carrying anything with you? I mean, everything has changed drastically. The everything has changed. And so God is saying to us, why is this happening? He says, I want you to enter into my life. I want to enter into this breath of God, this rule of God that's coming for all the earth, this consuming fire that's coming to all the earth, which is good for some, but bad for most. Like the flood was good for some, but bad for most. So Jesus is saying this fullness and the springs, this fount of divine qualities of God is given to humanity that Adam lost. So for each act, Jesus says, done in my divine will, the soul encloses within herself a life that has no beginning and no end. So listen to what Jesus is saying. He's talking about himself. This life is the life that God possesses. And what we're going to see is we've been with God from the beginning. We were in his mind before even the universe was created. And we're with him until the end. We're with God for the beginning and the end. And this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life that has no beginning and no end. So the soul, Jesus says, encloses an act. Okay, Jesus breathed in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. I mean, when you do your prevening act in the morning, you're saying everything that I think, say, and do, I want to do in the divine will. You're enclosing in all that you're going to think, say, and do with your intellect, memory, and will, that everything will spring out of that. A springs that are never exhausted. No beginning, no end. This life of God, this true life of Jesus and Mary, this abundant life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. It's so glorious that our God is asking us to begin to say, fiat, I want this. Learning how to do your acts and your rounds of the divine will. Praying the rounds are so essential too. You know, as you pray your rounds. And this is one of the reasons why we want to record the titles of Louisa. Lent's coming. So we read the hours of the passion, you know, you try to find at least 24 people, your family, your friends, your neighbors who can read together with you. And then Jesus says, I will protect those areas who will read the hours of the passion. And the chastisement will not be as severe. Sealing of the communities with the whole, you know, asking the holy angels to seal the communities is needed. I mean, get to begin to understand that God isn't going to leave us to be destroyed. He doesn't want that. I mean, look what he did with Noah. Noah built the ark. He gets on the ark, rain comes. 40 days and 40 nights. He and his family don't get wet. It's the same thing what's coming. This fire from heaven is coming. And that consuming love of God is coming. And for those souls who want God, want this abundant life, it's a consuming love of consuming fire of love, not of death, not of destruction. But for those who are apart from God, who don't want what God wants, they're going to recognize this. What's coming is the love of God, and they don't want this. Their whole life says this. Now, people can change. People can turn back to God and confess their sins. And again, that's why the unforgivable sin is the sin that's not confessed, basically. We want God to have mercy on us. But this is the reason why when Jesus rose from the dead, he said to the apostles, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. They're not, it's our fiat to what God has said. So Jesus says, so what's this spring? What's this spring? It's continuous sanctity that springs. It's continuous happiness, beauty, love that spring. These are all the divine qualities of God in the act of springing and growing continuously. See, God wants us to be in his image and likeness, happiness, beauty, and love. So if a soul could possess one act alone, Jesus says, done in my divine will. Now, this is what he teaches Louisa and teaches us. And all the good works of all humanity from all centuries, if that could be put together, they could never equal the single act done in my most holy divine will. See, this is, you look at the, Jesus says to us about what God gave to Louisa. And this is hard for most people to understand. But one eye blink of Louisa, he says, one small act of Louisa is greater than all the martyrdoms of all the martyrs of all the history of humanity. It's greater than that. How can it be greater than that? Well, in the divine will, you're saying, Jesus, blink in my blinking. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, be, it's God who's doing that. To be in God's image and likeness is to do what God does. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. You're breathing into God's breathing. It's very simple. It's not complicated. What Jesus says to Louisa is simple. Louisa had a first grade education. She puts down on paper exactly what Jesus says. And this is not how humans think. Humans don't think this way, but God thinks this way. So what does he say? One act done in my divine will is greater than all the works of all of humanity for all the centuries put together could never equal one single eye blink done in the divine will. Jesus, you do this. I not only want to be have a personal relationship with you, Jesus, but I want you to reign in me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you, Lord, to gaze in my gazing, speak in my speaking, listen in my listening. I don't want to do this. I want to do what you have done. I don't want to do what I want. I want what you want. Jesus says, he says, because it is life that reigns in that act, divine life that reigns in that act. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Why are all the little children, the holy divine will, so happy? They're happy because you're one with Jesus. You begin to experience this. You will know, this is what Jesus tells Louisa, and it is true. You will know when your heart is beating and when Jesus's heart is beating and your heart beating. You will know whether you are breathing or Jesus is breathing and you're breathing. You will know this. This is what Jesus tells Louisa, and this is what happens with souls in the divine will. You will know that when you walk, it's not you walking and you're walking. It's Jesus walking and you're walking. And it seems like you're doing it, Jesus says, but he is doing it. He says, my life reigning in that act. I want all the other works done outside of my divine will. I want you to know, he says, all the other works done outside of my divine will. There is no life inside that work. It's a work but without divine life. That's how we're supposed to live. When God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God, divine life. And Jesus says, Adam knew all the sciences. Adam was filled with love of God. He communicated with God. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That's a perennial communion. And Jesus says, I give Holy Communion to my church to prepare them for the perennial communion that Adam lost, the perennial communion that Jesus had with the Father, the perennial communion that Mary had with the triune God. She, as she said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, I am the daughter of the Father. I am the mother of the Son. I am the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. This is why that image of Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling is so important for us today. This image of Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling is what God wants with us. He says, I want you to begin to live an abundant life, a divine life of me, Jesus said, saying, reigning in you. So he says, imagine yourself doing a work. You put your work into it, not your life. And therefore, one could possess, one could see that work. One would possess or see your work, but not your life. Such is the human operating. The work of humanity's do, the work of what humanity's do is not life. They put their in their works, therefore they are subject to becoming stained, consumed, and even lost. So here Jesus is showing us this new and divine way of holiness is not yet in us. On the other hand, he says, the love and the jealousy of my divine will for the operating of the soul done in the divine will is so great that it places the very divine life in the middle of that work. And as its center, so the soul who does all of her acts, this is what Jesus taught Louisa, and he's trying to teach us, all of her acts in it possesses as many divine lives for as many acts that she performs in my supreme fiat. Breathe in my breathing, walk in my walking, come divine will, reign in me. You know, so the many acts that you do in the divine will, Jesus says, you possess as many divine lives for as many acts as she performs in my supreme fiat. So what are you doing? Are you learning how to do your prevening act? Are you learning how to say, I come divine will in your actual acts? And then he says this, the soul can be called the bilocator. That soul can be called the populator of the divine life within the endless ocean of my eternal will. This is what God does. Image and likeness, the bilocator, the populator of the divine life within the endless seas of my eternal volition. Great things are here, and God has asked us to do this. He saved the best for last. He asked the saints to do the will of God. Now he's asking us to live in the will of God. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.